FBI Studios. This is Truth and Justice, a crowdsourced investigation in real time. I'm Bob Roth. Last week, when I was breaking down the cell phone records, there were three names of interest that appeared. People we haven't really talked about yet. Becky's ex-boyfriend, Greg Gulke, her friend, Janelle McMashaw, and a guy named Josh Arney. Josh makes his first appearance on Becky's cell records on the morning that she was killed. He and Becky talked around 4:50 a.m., she calls him again around noon, and she talks to him again on her final trip up the mountain. Robert told police that Becky told him that another guy would be at her house during the hike. And since we've heard that interview, we've all been wondering if there was indeed another guy on their way to Becky's that night. And if so, who was it? This is Season 12, Episode 29, The Mystery Hiker.
Texas Ranger James Holland is a legendary interrogator. They call him the serial killer whisperer.
You can't hide those indications, and that's why yesterday I knew that he did it.
But now, shocking interrogation tapes reveal how the super cop really operates.
And that's why they asked me to come in, because I'm special.
From Something Else, The Marshall Project, and Sony Music Entertainment, this is Smokescreen. Just say you're sorry. Listen and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to start things off with Gray Gulke. All we know about Gray up to this point is that, according to Javier, Becky and Gray dated sometime before she was with Jacob, and Gray was an asshole with a temper. The police first contacted Gray on the 27th of September, 10 days after the murders. That was a short interview, and I don't have the audio, just a transcript, which is posted on our website. But in that first interview, Gray says that he's 26 years old, originally from Chicago, but was living in Palm Springs at the time of the interview, and he says that he had met Becky at Denny's. He says that he went there one night around 2 in the morning and met Becky while she was working waiting tables. They exchanged numbers, and then they dated for a while, but, quote, kinda broke up because she was too young for him. And that's Gray saying that he felt Becky was too young for him, and that's why they broke up. As the interview goes on, Detective Bumpensero, without mentioning the phone records, asked Gray when the last time that he talked to Becky was. Gray says that it was probably around the 12th or the 13th, middle of the month. He says he saw her driving down the road and he called her and she didn't pick up, but then she called him right back. Now, in Becky's phone records, we see that she did make a few calls to Gray on the 12th and the 13th, but there were no calls from him, just outgoing from Becky to Gray. Now, this whole interview, it seems like an unplanned phone call, so I'm sure Gray didn't have a lot of time to think things through before he spoke with Detective Bumpensero. In fact, Gray says that he only found out that Becky was dead just 4 days before this interview. A friend called him and told him to check out some articles that were online. But Gray is pretty spot on with the dates of the contact. He says mid-September, maybe the 12th or 13th, but definitely between the 10th and the 15th. And again, just to clarify, the phone records do show Becky making three calls to Gray, two on Tuesday and one on Wednesday. It looks like they only actually connected twice, though, for just over a minute on Tuesday and about 2 minutes on Wednesday. According to Gray, after he and Becky broke up, they remained friends. He says it was amicable. He says that he doesn't really know any of Becky's friends because they always hung out with his. And given the 8-year age difference, that makes some sense. For those of you that were wondering what Gray does for a living, looks like he's in the food service industry. He had previously worked at the Cheesecake Factory, and at the time of the interview, he was working at a restaurant/bar called The Zoo. He tells Bumpensero that he's never been to Becky's house, but he knows it's up 74 somewhere. Then they make arrangements to interview the next day because Gray is at work during this call. I do have the recordings for that interview, and it was conducted the next day on the 28th, but as you'll hear, it seems to come in after the interview was already started, and the transcript starts in the same spot. So I don't know what happened prior to Bumpensero hitting record. But here's Gray's September 28th interview. The sound quality's not great, but it's only about 6 minutes long, so hang in there.
If I was to ask you what's, like, her three best friends, who would they be?
We know that one, but man.
I think Janelle would be one of them. Oh, man.
What about if you call that place?
I know there's this one kid who was the guy that lived in right by 74 somewhere in, like, 111, but I can't remember his name. I want to say it's Alex, but I don't think that's right. I don't know. I don't know her three best friends at all.
I mean, did she talk about who she was hanging out with? Like, you know, if you say, so what did you do today? Or I hung out with so-and-so.
She didn't, but... I'm having trouble remembering the name, because I never really met them in person.
Right.
It was just all right. Much
helpful. I mean, was there any one person that she talked about all the time, like, oh, we did this, or we did that, or I got to call them, that kind of stuff?
The only person she really talked about was, that I remember offhand, is her friend Janelle.
Janelle. Okay.
I mean, every time me and her hung out, it was always with my friend.
Right. Okay. So, after you guys stopped dating, how often did you see her?
Can you say that again? I'm sorry.
Once you stopped dating, you said end of May, you guys kind of decided to just be friends.
Yeah.
How often did you see her after that? During the summer, July, August?
Probably after that, not that often, to be honest with you. After we stopped dating, I probably saw her another, like, 4 or 5 times within a, you know, 4 month time period.
Okay.
Actually, the last time I saw her was, I don't remember the exact date. I think it was like the 15th of this month or something. I was driving on my way to my apartment with my roommate, and I saw her behind me in the rearview mirror, but I looked behind me and saw her car. So I was trying to, like, wave to her, and I don't think she recognized me because I shaved my head earlier that day. And finally, she called me, like, 2 hours later because the screen of my phone broke, so I couldn't call her. I couldn't get her number out of my phone.
Right.
And she's like, was that you I saw earlier? And I'm like, yeah, I was trying to say hi to you. And she's like, oh, okay. She's like, I didn't know who it was, and I'm like, what were you doing? Because she was, like, playing around, like, boxing with, like, some girl that was, not boxing, but just, like, play hitting
right
in front of the seat. And I'm like, what were you doing? And she's like, oh, this is my friend. And I totally forgot who she said it was.
Right.
Another girl, though.
All right.
Hello?
So that was the last time you saw her then, was September 15th?
I'm not exactly sure on the date, but yeah.
Well, you said you were pretty sure about the date.
It's right around there.
Okay.
It's within a day time.
Well, you said you're going with your roommate towards your house?
Mm-hmm. We actually, went to get something to eat. Because we live right by McDonald's. And
Where were you at when you saw her? Where?
Highway 111. Headed towards Palm Springs from Kent City.
Oh, okay. So, Cathedral City over there by the car dealerships and stuff?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right.
She was behind us, and I didn't know if it was her right away, but she had a...
Right.
I remember she just bought a Scion, like, a couple months ago. One of the ones that looks like a refrigerator box.
Right.
And she had the little USAF, I think, bumper sticker or whatever.
Right.
So that's how I knew it was her car.
Gotcha. All right. When was the last time you talked to her then? That day when she called
you? That day. Actually, it was the last time I talked to her. She called me, and... You know, I said, what you up to? I haven't seen you in a while. You should come out and see my new apartment because I moved here
right
a month prior.
What did she say?
What was that?
What did she say?
She said, yeah, I got to do some stuff at school and I got some stuff going on. I got to work later, but I'll give you a call later. And I said, okay, cool.
And that was it?
And that was the last time I talked to her.
All right. So she didn't, like, she hasn't called you at all recently to, you know, like, say what's up or catch up or go out or anything like that?
Not really, no. The time I talked to her before that was probably 3 weeks prior to that. She called just to say hi. Like, that's pretty much how it was.
Right.
I didn't really hang out with her. I haven't really hung out with her probably since June, I would say.
Okay. So pretty much once you broke up with boyfriend and girlfriend, even though you were going to be friends, you didn't really hang out because you're not dating anymore.
We didn't hang out as much, no.
Right.
We still talk. We talk on MySpace and stuff.
Right. Is your MySpace obvious that it's you, or is it Because we've been looking through her MySpace to try to find out all the different people she's talking to.
I'm on her MySpace. You know,
you're on it.
It's under Gray.
Oh, okay.
Which is my name.
Right. That's easy.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm sure you can't really like tell me too much, but I mean exactly what happened because I'm totally in the dark on.
Yeah, you're right. I can't tell you too much. There was a house fire, and we've got three people have died.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty much what I read.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff you'll hear in the news. Some of it true, some of it not. But I'm at this point in the investigation, we're not giving out too much information.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
If I have more questions, can I call you another time?
Yeah, of course. You have my cell phone number. This is my house number.
Great.
You can reach me on either one.
Okay. All right, I appreciate it.
Hey, not a problem.
If I have any questions, I probably will call you back once or twice at least just to clear things up. All right, thanks.
All right, not a problem.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So, there's Gray. Definitely no bombshell there, but from what we know from the phone records, Becky didn't talk to Gray at all over the weekend. Which to me would make it kind of unlikely that he's the mystery hiker or even the killer. It's hard to imagine a 2-minute conversation 4.5 days before the murders being the thing that sets everything into motion. So unless we get some new information about Gray, at least for the time being, in my opinion, Gray Gaulke is cleared. Now, I know you're all dying to hear about Josh, but before we get there, I want you to meet Janelle McMashaw. Janelle has a connection to Josh Arney, although it never comes up in this interview. While the first phone contact we see between Becky and Josh is at 5 a.m. on Sunday, Josh actually makes a call to Janelle the night before at 10:02 p.m. That's what originally drew me to her interview. I wanted to hear more about Josh, but that doesn't happen in this interview. But still, I'm glad I listened to it. Janelle seems like a wonderful friend to Becky. She seems very kind and honest in this interview. It's a very different vibe than what we hear from a lot of her other friends. And thanks to Janelle, we now know what Becky was up to Friday night before she went home and later picked up Bo and Javier from Nick Coraline's party. So keep that timeline in mind as you listen to her interview. As I said in the follow-up, I'm convinced at this point that the breakup with Jacob actually occurred on Friday morning. So when Jen is talking about Becky swimming at her house Friday night, that's the same day as the breakup. And you'll also notice who Becky is not talking about to her friend, Robert. Janelle's asked about Robert in this interview, and she only even vaguely knows who he is. So here's Janelle's interview. It's only about 12 minutes of it, but the transcripts for this and the short phone call from a couple hours earlier is posted on the website.
Okay, so tell me again when you met Becky.
I met Becky about three weeks to a month ago.
Okay, and you met her through your roommate, Desiree?
My roommate. She came over to the condo.
Okay. How does she spell her name? Is it D-E-S-I-R-E-E?
Yes.
And what's her last
name? D-E-S-I-R-E-E. Clark.
Clark?
C-L-A-R-K.
Okay. And can I get your date of birth, Janelle? All right. And how about your home address? Palm Desert,
Palm
right?
Desert, uh-huh. 92260.
All right. Do you have a home phone?
No, cell phone.
All right. And I have Desiree's cell phone also. What's Desiree's date of birth?
I do not know her birthday.
Okay.
But 87.
All right. I can talk to her later. Okay. So you met her about 3 weeks ago. Has Desiree brought her over to your house or what?
She came over to meet up with us. Like, I guess she came over to see Desiree because we have a lot of people come over to our house.
Okay. So, were you guys having like a party or something?
No, we were just having a couple people over.
Okay. And just so you know, okay, I know Becky smoked pot, no big deal, okay? And that, what I'm getting at is I just want you to be truthful about things.
Okay.
Because we need to find out what happened to those guys up there.
I know.
You know, and if people are truthful with me, then that really helps. It doesn't throw these roadblocks up in front of me. So if I ask you about that, I just, you know, ask that you be truthful. And I'm not looking to get you in trouble for anything. I'm not going to tell anybody about it. It's just between us.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. So, I mean, if you guys were having a party and she showed up and people were smoking pot, just say that. It's no big deal.
It wasn't a party, but we just, like, I mean, practically every night of the week, we have a good, like, 8 people over smoking.
Okay. All right, and this was, do you know what night it was?
No, I don't know the specific date.
It was a weekend
about,
or?
I think actually it was a weekday.
Okay. And did she come there by herself, or did she come with anybody else?
She came with Javi.
Okay. How well do you know Javi?
I only know Javi through Becky, but from what I know from Becky, like, they've been friends for 3 years, and, you know, they're really close.
Right.
And I heard that from Becky.
Okay. All right. So you first met her about 3 weeks ago, and then since then, have you guys been hanging out at all, or?
I'm sorry?
After you met her about 3 weeks ago, have you guys been hanging out?
Yeah, like, we connected instantly, and we started hanging out more.
Okay. And when was the last time you saw her or talked to her?
The last time I saw Becky was the Friday before it happened, and the last time I talked to her was over the phone, Saturday about 40-something on Saturday night.
Saturday, what time?
Evening, about 6:43-ish.
Okay. And did you call her on your cell phone?
She had called me. Like, after I heard, I was looking through my calls, and I had an incoming call from her on Saturday night.
Okay.
And I hung out with her Friday. We went swimming and hung out Friday.
Where did you guys go swimming at?
We went swimming at my house.
Okay.
She came over here and we hung out and went swimming.
Okay, so when she called you Saturday at about 6:40 or so, did she tell you what she was doing?
No, we were actually talking about a problem I was having with my car.
A problem that you're having with your car?
That I was having with my car. My car towed the day before, and I was just complaining about that.
Okay.
We didn't talk long.
Did Becky tell you where she was?
No.
Okay, and that was Saturday night, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And what other friends of Becky's do you know? Do you know Jacob?
Yeah, I know Jacob. I know Bo. And I've heard of Janelle a lot, but I never met her.
Okay. And do you know Claire?
No. I know that that's her best friend, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. What did you do Saturday night, or Sunday night?
Sunday night, I think we were all just hanging out at the condo.
Okay. Do you know who was there with you?
I know it was me, Desiree, I believe my other roommate, Jay, and Bo.
Bo Nash?
Bo, no, Bo, Desiree's boyfriend, Bo. A different Bo.
Okay, do you know Bo Nash?
Is Bo Nash the one with the red curly hair?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, but he wasn't there with you guys?
No.
Okay, so it's a different Bo then. All right, did you see Javier or Jacob or Bo Nash at all on Sunday?
No.
Okay, are these people that you would normally hang out with at all, or you just, I mean, you know Javi through?
We only know Javi through Becky, so if Becky wasn't coming over, you know, we don't really know Javi. He only started coming over by himself, you know, after Becky passed.
Okay.
Like, we had only met him through Becky, and only kicked with him through Becky.
Okay, and since Becky died, he's been coming over?
He came over a couple of times to grieve, but just a couple of times.
What has he said about this?
Basically that he's just really upset. He can't believe it happened. And, like, when he was over here last time, he was playing one of your favorite songs and just getting really sad and looking at this. We kept a little book.
Yeah.
For people to write in every time they came over and smoked.
Uh-huh.
And Becky had written in it, and he was just reading through that.
Okay. Did he say anything about what he was doing Sunday night?
No.
He never mentioned anything like that?
No. I never thought to ask.
Right. Have you heard any rumors about what may have happened up there?
I've heard plenty of rumors about what may have happened, yes.
What have you heard?
Well, first they were saying that she was beaten, and then someone else was saying that they were shot, and that Becky made an escape for it, and she was running down they got about a half mile before they shot her, and that's why they put her in the wheelbarrow, and then they wheeled her back to the house, and that's when they set the house on fire.
So who told you that? Or where did you hear that from?
I heard that from my roommate Desiree, and I don't know where she heard it from. She said she was hearing it rumored around.
Okay. Have you heard anything about who might be involved?
No, and then I also heard that it might be because she heard her stepdad was growing weed.
Okay, do you know if he was for sure?
No.
Who'd you hear that from?
I heard it from my roommate.
From Desiree?
Yeah.
Okay.
But she said that Becky had told her, but Becky never told me, so I don't know.
Becky told Desiree that her stepdad was growing weed?
I'm sorry, what?
Becky told Desiree that her stepdad was growing weed?
Yes, in their backyard.
Okay. All right. Let me see here. Do you know Robert? Robert Pape?
No, but I've heard of him. I heard that's my ex.
Right. Okay, but you never met him?
No. And she never mentioned him. I didn't know her that long to get into the whole exes thing.
Right. Okay. And, you know, do you know a guy named Nick Crum?
No.
No? And there's another Nick?
Okay, what's the other Nick's name?
Do you know a guy named Nick Corline?
I don't know if it's the Nick I'm talking about. I don't know many of the people out here that well, mm-hmm. but I know another Nick, and he's just graduated from Palm Valley, and he's going to UCLA. I don't know if that's the Nick you're talking about, but I don't
know
his last name. No.
Okay.
He's my roommate's friend.
Okay. This guy, I think they had a party for him Friday night or Saturday night up in Pinyon.
No, I don't know him.
Did you hear about a party up there?
No.
So you didn't go to any parties up there on Friday or Saturday night?
I went to Orange County this past weekend.
Okay. When did you go there?
When did I go to Orange County?
Yeah.
This past weekend I left Friday morning and came back Saturday
night.
This past weekend? Yeah.
I'm talking about the weekend that this thing happened.
No, I didn't hear about any party. Opinion.
Okay. Do you know anybody that lives up there?
No. I never even heard Opinion until she told me that's where she lived.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. So then you probably don't know anybody that lives up there. All right. Is Desiree around?
Desiree's in class, she'll be back in about 15 minutes. Her phone is charged now.
Uh-huh.
I can have her call you on this number as soon as she gets back in class. Like, she should be here in about 10 minutes.
Okay. What I'll do is I'll just call her back then in like 10 minutes.
Okay.
If that's cool.
Yeah, no problem.
Should I call her on her phone?
Yeah, call her on her phone. She gets out of class at 9:50, so anytime after that.
Okay, and I have her number written down here somewhere. What's her number again? All right. Did Becky ever mention anything to you? I know you didn't know her that long, but did she ever mention anything to you about anybody threatening her or, you know, something like that, or just...
No, there were no, like, main threats. I mean, I know we all, like, because we're teenagers, we all have, like, girls that we don't like and want to fight. She knew this girl named Jocelyn that she wanted to fight, and me and Javi were talking about it, and we, like, you know, brought it up, and we were like, I doubt Jocelyn, you know. I mean, it's just a little petty girl fight.
Right.
But besides that, no, I mean, when we first heard about it, we thought it had something to do with Becky because we know Becky, like, not necessarily have a lot of enemies, but I know, like, you know, she's a fierce girl.
Right.
So, you know, a lot of people may not like her.
Right.
But she never said anything about anyone, you know, trying to get her or anything like that.
Okay. Did she ever mention anything just that was, like, not normal? Like, maybe she was shopping at the mall or something and she felt somebody was following her or anything at all like that?
When we were swimming, we were talking and we were just talking about how we were going to change and how, like, we were talking about how we're going to stop smoking as much because now we're not as depressed so that we can actually, like, just be happy instead of needing to smoke to be happy. We were talking about
change.
Like, we were talking about positive things. That's why it was a complete shock to me because she was talking so positive and how, like, she was going to do better and get her life together on Friday, and then Sunday night.
This all happened?
Right.
Okay. Okay, if I have any other questions for you, can I call you later on? Not tonight, but like another day?
Yeah, absolutely. If you have any questions, just call me anytime. I'll save your number so that I know who it is.
Okay.
The most frustrating thing that I've come across this week is that Janelle says that Desiree told her about John growing pot up at the property, which would be a pretty major risk factor that we need to know about. And then Bompensero says that he's going to go interview Desiree, and then nothing. There's nothing in the file to indicate that he ever did that. I don't know if he did or not, but there's no report, there's no transcript, there's no audio, nothing. And yes, to answer your question, she is on my list of people to contact. Last but not least is Josh Arney. After finding Josh's number on Becky's phone records, LeClaire then pulled Josh's phone log. And on October 17th, Josh sat down to be interviewed. This is exactly 1 month after the murders. You're going to hear him explain that he met Becky Saturday night into Sunday morning at Denny's, and they exchanged numbers. He says the first couple of calls we see in the log are him calling Becky's number so she would have his. And I'm sure all of us have done this many times. Give me your number, I punch it into my phone, send you a text or a call, so then you have my number too. LeClaire is baffled by this process, by the way. Now, just like Janelle's interview, I cut this one down to the relevant portions. I cut out a section in the middle where Josh is giving all the first names of his co-workers. It just goes on and on for too long and it's not useful. And I cut it off at the end so you don't have to listen to the 10 minutes of Josh trying to explain to LeClaire why he would call Becky to give her his number. Here's Josh.
So, Becky Freely, you know her apparently.
Mm-hmm. A little bit.
Tell me about how you guys met and when.
It was probably about a year ago now. A bunch of us were working. I was working at Champs at the time. A bunch of us had to work late. We were all hungry, so we sat over to Denny's. She was our waitress. She was real cool, so we were just, you know, kind of joking around, laughing and stuff. We were gonna, you know, we'd all talked about going and hanging out, catching a movie or something together. And so I, you know, I exchanged phone numbers with her, and you know, just never got around to it. Either I had to work, or she had, you know, school or something like that. She said, so we just never really got to do it. The only time I would see her was at the work, at the job. I caught her driving around a couple times. That was about it.
Which shift does she normally work at Denny's?
It was like the graveyard shift, I guess.
Okay.
I never saw her before. So I've been in the daytime too. I never see her. When the sun's up, it was always, you know, midnight hours.
Where did she live at?
Where did she live? She said she lived up the mountain. She told me, I don't know.
Where is that up the mountain?
It's up 74. That's all like what she had told me.
I mean, do you know how far or where?
Mm-hmm.
Or how many times have you actually talked to her?
Like face to face or anything?
Face to face.
Just, I'd say maybe a dozen.
Okay.
Just, you know, like I said, just going into the Denny's, grabbing a bite. And she's not on her way to the city, still swing by and say hi. It was just, you know, hey, how you been? Oh, I've been good. How about you? I'm all right.
What type of places did you see her at around town?
I would just see her driving, like, you know. She passed me up, or we'd be at a red light, way better.
How many times you talked to her on the computer or the telephone? Or?
I don't know. I never talked to her on the computer. On the phone, five or six, probably. Just a quick, you know, hey, what are you doing? What are you doing later?
Do you remember the last time you talked to her?
At least a month or more.
Okay. And what happened with that conversation?
It was at Denny's. And she waited on us, and she was a table next to us. just talking, you know, seeing what's been going on. Told her I got a new car and stuff, so I'm kind of excited about that. But.
Do you
remember? I haven't really had any in-depth conversations, you know.
Do you remember the last time you talked to her? Do you remember the day? You know, the hour?
It's probably on a weekend. It was like, because usually when I was going to Denny's, we'd go there and just hang out. There was nothing else to do. We'd go there and probably, I'd say, probably like a Friday or Saturday. I'd say a month, probably a month or 2 months.
Would it be the beginning of her shift, the end of her shift?
I'm not sure. She said she was always getting called in early or staying late for people. It was probably around 11:30 or 12 in the evening.
Did you ever text message her?
I don't believe so. Usually just call up.
So do you think you last talked to her in person or on the phone?
It was in person.
Whenever you called her, did she typically answer her phone, or did it have to leave a message?
She answered it. I think I left maybe one or two messages. She called back.
So you didn't know she passed away?
No, sir. You told me that. I said, what? So I wasn't awake yet. First thing to hear is, you know, friend or acquaintance passing, you know, kind of shocking, especially when you first wake up. So.
Well, I didn't mean to shock you, but it seems like everyone in this valley knows what happened.
No.
Except you. It's in the papers, on TV, been in there for weeks. It's like the biggest story around town.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I work here all the time, and then I don't watch TV. Not much, usually a couple episodes or something here or there. And I'm not like an avid TV watcher.
Okay. Well, have you learned anything from about her death from our conversation this morning up until now?
Mm-mm. And just when I left the message, you know, it said homicide detective, so I'm sure it was foul. But I don't know. You know, any details.
Do you guys know any mutual people?
Mm-mm.
You don't know any of her friends?
No, like I said, we never hung out. It was just, she would, you know, be at work, and we talked about, you know, a bunch of people be going to do something, but it just never really happened.
Did you guys date?
Nope. I always had a girlfriend. She told me she had a boyfriend. So.
What was her boyfriend?
I don't even know. She was just like, I got a man. Okay, so, huh? So, you know, I was not trying to go there anyway. But.
So where were you trying to go?
We just all wanted to hang out. Like, I'm not really, you know, I'm not from here, so I really don't know anybody my age, except for, like, peers at work. So I figured, you know, she had some friends that I could, you know, she could introduce me to, I could get to know her. Try to start some new friends out here or something.
So who are you at Denny's with?
Hmm?
Who are you at
people
Denny's
I work with.
Are these people your age, younger, older, what?
It's been a few years. My age.
Just trying to figure out what's the connection between you and Becky then. If she's already got a boyfriend, you got a girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
It's over between at that point.
What do you mean?
I mean, if you both are dating people and she's obviously made it clear she's got a man, then most people at restaurants just move on, right?
Well, she told me later. We just got numbers. We're all hanging out. And I was talking to her. She said something about her boyfriend. And I was like, no, she said, yeah, I got a man. Oh, okay.
Did she say anything about him? Like what he did or
mm-mm.
What he drove?
No.
What was she into?
Like hobbies and stuff?
Anything.
I don't know. She seemed like kind of like she was into kind of. I don't know what kind of section, kind of not really like punkers or gothic type, you know, just like she was into like, you know, like metal, stuff like that probably. a few different people that she talked to at work before. And it was usually, you know, guys that were dressed like that, whatever. I'm not trying to stereotype, you know, but...
I don't care about stereotyping
so
people.
So I'm just saying, it's, so it's, you know, just from what she was hanging around, what she would talk to most of the time.
Does she know anyone that works here at the store that you know of?
Mm-mm.
Do you know anyone who knows Becky?
No.
I noticed your phone number came up on her phone bill a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
The last time it came up was about a month ago.
Yeah.
About 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And then she called you back like 10 minutes later. Does that ring a bell?
No, not really. It's probably... Was it, did it show how long we talked for? Or was it just...
Too mad. The first time probably was you leaving a message because it was only a few seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And then 10 minutes later or so, she called you back.
Yeah.
And you guys talked for a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I just said our conversations were just, you know, hey, let's do something this weekend, you know, when you're going to be off. You know, because usually I'll be off and she's out of work or vice versa. So. Never had a chance to, you know, to get a bunch of people and go catch a movie or go hang out.
So out of these 12 times or 20 times you talked to her, did she ever introduce you to any friends or?
Mm-mm.
What I'm getting at is if you talked to her 12 to 20 times in person on the phone, and if you weren't trying to date her, because mm-hmm. most guys try to pick up chicks,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's their main goal in life.
Yeah.
And if they're not trying to pick up on the chick, usually they don't talk to chicks because mm-hmm. they ain't nothing in common with girls. They hang out with their fellas,
yeah.
but they try to date the chicks.
And she came across kind of like as a tomboy type, you know.
Yeah.
So it was like, you know, we're sitting there laughing and joking, you know, just me and the guys I worked with, and then she would come up. And, you know, she would hear us talking and she was walking by or something, and she'd say a little something to us, you know, joking around.
And who are these other people you're talking about? You keep saying us.
Just guys that I worked with, a chance.
You didn't kill her, did you?
No, sir.
Would you tell me if you did?
I think it'd be kind of plain. I think, you know what I'm saying? I couldn't even do that.
You couldn't do what?
Kill somebody, man. No, I couldn't kill somebody, man. No. It's not in it.
So try to remember this, okay? Back in September, okay? You called her at 5 o'clock in the morning, okay? Mm-hmm. And she called you back like 1 minute later.
Mm-hmm.
And then that same day, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you called her. And a few minutes later, she called you back. Does that jog your memory anymore? 4 o'clock in the morning, you call her, she called back. And then 4 o'clock in the afternoon, 12 hours later, you call her and she called you back. Do you remember that day at all?
I called her before. She usually worked there. So like 5 or 6, I would see her real late sometime. I probably just called to get a number in my phone. In my phone again. Save it.
Well, what do you mean get a number in your phone?
Instead of just like, you know, hey, what's your number? And then, you know, she gives me hers and then I give her mine, you know. So just give me her number and then...
Yeah, but you called her first, so you would already have to have her number.
If she's at work, you know what I mean? Like, hey, let me get your number again real quick. And then I'll call her so she has it in her phone.
From here, it's just nonsense about exchanging numbers. LeClaire cannot figure it out, and he seems like he thinks this is like a huge gotcha moment to Josh, wondering why Josh would ever call Becky if he's trying to get her number or she's trying to get his. It goes on for a long time, but it's not useful. But now as we move on, after hearing all of that, after hearing that interview, I want you to hear something else. Earlier in the day, in the morning, before this interview occurred, LeClaire called Josh on the phone, and it sounds like he woke him up with the call. It was the same day, like I said, October 17th. This is a month after the murders. And I want you to hear this because I want you to actually hear Josh's real reaction to being told Becky is dead.
Hello?
Hi, Josh.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Who's
this? This is Detective LeClaire. I work with the Sheriff's Department here in Palm Desert.
Mm-hmm.
Did I wake you up?
Yeah. Hold on.
Sorry about that.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I wanted to talk to you today about Becky.
About Becky?
Yeah, you know Becky Friedley?
Becky Friedley. Yeah. Little bitch. She works at Denny's.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You gonna be up and around pretty soon?
Yeah. Okay. I gotta work soon, so.
Oh, what time you gotta go to work?
Oh, I gotta be there in a little bit.
You think between then and the time you get up, we can maybe sit down and talk for a little bit?
What's going on?
We're just talking with all her friends, and I understand you might know her. So I just want to ask you a few questions, see if you know anything that could help us out about her death.
About her death?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Hey. I mean, you know anything about that?
Shit, that's brand new news to me, dude.
You didn't know she passed away?
No, sir.
Where have you been for the last couple months?
I didn't really know her, man. I just knew her from Denny's.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I used to go into there after work because it was right there.
Oh. Well, this might not take very long, then, if you didn't know her all that well. But that's why it's taken so long. I can kind of sit down and explain some things to you. We're trying to talk with everyone who knows her, just try to get a little background information on who she was and things like that.
I don't know about you, but I don't think that Josh had the slightest clue that Becky had been killed. No one is that good of a liar, especially right after they wake up and get a call that they weren't expecting. As far as I'm concerned, Josh can be eliminated as the mystery hiker, and he can also be cleared as a suspect. So who was the mystery hiker? Or was there someone else going to Becky's house at all? The answer has been staring us right in the face this whole time. And for once this season, I feel comfortable saying that my initial hunch was right. It was Javier. It was always Javier. What finally confirmed this for me was that last interview of his that I played for you a couple of weeks ago. The one on October 10th where he refuses to take the polygraph. He says that he talked to Becky and she told him to come to her house. Then in his last conversation with her at 6:40, she told him not to come because it would be too awkward with Robert there. Look at the call logs. Becky talks to Javier for 20 minutes starting at 5:12 while he's driving up the hill until he loses service. He says that he's driving to Anza at that point. Then, at 6:14, there is a single 2.5-minute conversation between Becky and Robert. This is when Robert says that she told him that there would be another guy there, which he says is what made him decide not to go. But he doesn't say that he told her he wasn't going. He just says that he decided not to go at that point. And then right after that, 3 minutes after that, Javi calls Becky and they talk for 12 minutes. He's hitting a tower in Iguanga, which is beyond Anza at that point, a long ways past Becky's house. Now at this point, according to Javier, he still thinks he's going to Becky's, and his phone shows that he's working his way back in that direction. But then at 6:40, Becky calls him. This is the call when Javi says that Becky told him not to come because it would be awkward with Robert there. Javier's hitting the Anza tower at this point, which means he's on his way back from Iguanga, but he's still a little ways, maybe 20, 30 minutes away from Becky's house. And by the looks of the phone records, Becky knew that Robert didn't like the idea of someone else being there. She calls Javi and says, "Don't come because it will be awkward," and that's according to Javi. Then she hangs up and tries calling Robert 7 minutes later, then again 4 minutes after that, and then Christian 5 minutes after that. Now this part is my own analysis, so it's certainly up for debate. But for me, when I look at this, when we lump together what Javier said happened, and the phone records, It seems very obvious to me that Becky got the vibe from Robert that he wasn't going to come because of the other guy being there. So she fixes that issue by telling Javier not to come. And then she tries calling Robert and Christian both to tell them that he wouldn't be there, but they never picked up. If it really was confirmed that Robert definitely was coming on that phone call at 6:14, then there would have been no reason to tell Javier not to come, and no reason to frantically try calling Robert and Christian to tell them. And imagine what a lucky guess that would have had to been for Robert to have made up the fact that Becky told him someone else was going to be there, when we know from Javier that someone else was going to be there, and it was him. I think that this is as close as we will ever get to confirming what Robert told police without, like, surveillance video. Like I said, that's my analysis. Maybe yours differs and we can discuss that on Friday. But what's just cold, hard fact at this point is that there absolutely was another guy going to be at Becky's that night. Robert was 100% absolutely telling the truth about that. Without question, the mystery hiker was Javier. Truth and Justice is an NBI Studios production and is distributed by Wondery. Edited by Kelly Barron's Brink and sound engineered by Shane Yoder. All music for the show was created, composed, and scored by PutThemInASong.com, who also mixed and mastered this episode. All of our fonts across all of our logos and banners were created by Tate Krupa of Red Swan Graphic Design, and you can find more of Tate's work on Etsy. Thank you to Katie Ross of CreatedInTandem.com for designing, creating, managing, and maintaining our website, TruthAndJusticePod.com, where you can view all photos and documents discussed in every episode. And a big thank you to our transcription team, Pamela Westby, Kathy McElhaney, Kay Wood Yomnick, Ginger Fiola, Erica Cantor, Danielle Rohr, Jennifer Ford, Courtney Wimberly, and Melissa Cardenas. And as always, thank you to all of you for all of your engagement and support. If you like the show and you'd like to support us, you can do so in several ways. To financially support the show, the best thing you can do is just go to patreon.com/truthandjustice. You'll not only be supporting the show, but you'll get something in return. On Patreon, you can pledge as little as $3 a month, and we have reward levels. For just $5 a month, you get access to ad-free versions of all of our episodes and behind-the-scenes bonus video content every week. Then other reward levels include t-shirts, hats, and even the opportunity to co-host one of our Friday follow-up episodes. Just go to patreon.com/truthandjustice. You can also do us a huge favor by going to iTunes and leaving us a 5-star rating and review. And lastly, you can always support us by supporting the brands that sponsor this program. If you have a new case that you'd like us to consider for future seasons, you can submit your cases on our website, truthandjusticepod.com. Just click on the case submission button and fill out the form. And the most important thing that you can do is to engage in our investigations. You can keep in touch with us through our email at theories@truthandjusticepod.com. You can like our Facebook page or join in on the conversation on the Truth and Justice Podcast fans page on Facebook. And for all you tweeters out there, you can connect with us on Twitter @TruthJusticePod. And I can be found personally on all forms of social media @BobRuffTruth. And don't forget that we always have our 24/7 voicemail line open for questions, comments, or tips on our cases. That phone number is 269-224-2833. However you do it, stay engaged, stay in touch. But as for now, I'm signing off. I'm Bob Ruff, and this has been Truth and Justice.